everybody, and welcome to episode 146 of Rain Delay Radio. It's a baseball podcast. We are deep in the thick of the championship series. They're coming close to a close. We don't have guests on this week to talk about them, partly because we're going to have guests on to talk about, well, at least one guest on to talk about the World Series when we get closer to that. And partly because we want to have a nice chill episode. We've had some pretty long episodes the last few weeks, so it's nice to have this one shorten up, have like a long episode, then a short episode, then a long episode, then a short episode. So joining me on this short episode, who else? It's Pat. How's it going, Pat?
What up, man? Pretty good. Good weekend here. We went camping yesterday and today. We picked up a puppy. So
we named him
Chopper.
Chopper.
I know you've watched Star Wars Rebels. Yeah,
I haven't watched it, but I'm familiar.
Yeah. He's named after the droid Chopper. Yeah, so yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, he's a Welsh Corgi. He's cute,
adorable.
The cat's pissed, but he'll get over it.
The Eagles beat the Dolphins today. The two,
they did do that. Yeah,
they're both 5-1 coming into the game, right?
They were 5-1 coming into the game, and the Eagles leave 6-1.
There we go. So all in all, a good weekend for you.
Pretty aside from, we'll get into that later, but aside from Craig, a pretty good weekend.
Yeah. We'll get into that in a bit. Let's start with some of the news of the week. The first one, the big story, Kim Ng decided to part ways with the Miami Marlins. The reports are that they wanted to hire a president of baseball operations above her, who she would report to. She was the general manager and the top of the organization. They wanted to hire somebody above her, and she refused and left. That's the report. I don't believe either side officially corroborated that, but trustworthy reporters are saying that. I believe Ken Rosenthal reported that. I don't remember exactly off the top of my head right now, but interesting. And as this is mentioned, right, this, it was a playoff roster, right?
this is the first true playoff roster.
Yeah.
Like, I don't count the COVID season. Like, this is right. The first true playoff roster they've had since 03.
Yeah. So in 20 years. And her reward is, all right, now we're going to have somebody for you to report to, which just doesn't seem to make a whole ton of sense, you know?
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. Like, she put together a really good roster. Like I viewed the Marlins as a threat coming into these playoffs. Like,
yeah,
they're a scrappy team, and like if they did have Sandy going into that postseason, that wild card series, I think that would have gone 3 games.
Yeah,
they're, I think, a good, that makes team. Sense.
It was Jeff Passan, by the way, who reported this initially on Twitter and for ESPN. No official cooperation from either side, but if we don't trust Jeff Passan, who do we trust, right?
Right.
It just seems like a wild move and shows a lack of confidence, or like the kind of thing of like you decide you want to fire this GM and get somebody else in, but like just an insane lack of confidence in somebody who built a playoff built a playoff roster. She didn't show any signs of stopping, a bad look, it's a bad look for any team to do to any GM, especially bad to do to the first female GM in the Big Four, right? Or yeah. I don't think there's any, like, right? I certainly in baseball, but I believe in the Big Four sports leagues in the U.S. As well. So it's a rough look for the Marlins to lose her. I don't remember, Pat, you said you saw something about the Red Sox reaching out to her for their job.
Yeah, the Red Sox reached out to her and she straight up told them no. Probably because she doesn't want the same kind of like ownership meddling,
right?
That's going on in Boston.
And it's interesting because the job in Boston that's open is president of baseball ops.
Yeah.
Apparently, Gabe Kapler also interviewed for that job, which
I hope he gets it. That'd be hysterical.
That seems nuts.
That would make me truly laugh.
But it's also kind of unclear whether, like, the person they're looking for is president of baseball ops or if it's GM, and they're, you know, because, like, Chaim Bloom got fired, but Brian O'Halloran was seemingly promoted to VP of baseball ops. He went from general manager to executive vice president of baseball operations, which is,
yeah, it's weird. Like, they don't have a true GM.
Maybe
some teams don't have they'll have a GM in name, but like the baseball ops guy, like the president of baseball ops is the guy. Like in Philly, right, Sam Fold is our GM, but Dave Dombrowski is the guy.
Yeah, same thing in St. Louis. It's Mike Gersh and John Mozeliak. John Mozeliak is the president of baseball ops. He's the guy. And you know, I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but like if you don't know, if you're newer to baseball, president of baseball ops is essentially a position that got created for like teams wanted to give a guy a promotion and they didn't have a job to promote him to. So they were like, all right, we're gonna make this new job. Either because they wanted to keep their AGM around and promote him, or because they wanted to keep their GM around and give him a promotion to promote the GM to president of baseball ops, promote the AGM to GM, and that way you can give both guys a promotion. The O'Halloran move from GM to executive vice president of baseball ops seems like somewhere between a promotion and a lateral move. Like theoretically, he would still be reporting to whoever the new president of baseball ops would be, but he's also continuity. Like he's been there for a while.
Right.
I'm confused by the Red Sox whole position, and that might be why Kim Ng said no. She was like, you know what, this whole deal doesn't seem to make sense to me. You're good.
My guy, baseball operations is confusing.
It's a big, like, the fact that a successful GM would say no to the Boston job outright.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Says a lot about what's going on in Boston. Like,
red flag.
I'm a little concerned about the deal in Boston for a franchise that over the last has been more successful than any other over the last 20 years, right? That's four rings in the last 20 years.
04, 07, 13, 18. Right? Yeah, four
rings over the last 20 years. That's more than any other franchise. The Giants have three in that time frame. But like, so it's, you know, it's tough to see them, you know, like they did not have a good season. They fired their president of baseball ops. Okay, you know, you can kind of, although I don't remember how long Chaim Bloom had been there, but I don't think he'd been there very long. I don't think he was even there for the 2018 team.
He tore that team down, that's for sure.
Yeah, which happens, you know, like, they hired him on October 25th, 2019, and in that time, they've not had a great run. He was with the Rays before, and so, you know, obviously, teams hire out of the Rays. They do that a lot. He also interviewed for the GM for the Phillies, the Brewers, the Twins, the Giants, and the Mets. In 2015, 16, and 18, before getting the Red Sox job. But then in those, you know, four seasons with the Red Sox, one of which is the COVID season, not a ton of success. But, you know, so like going through like having three baseball ops heads in 6 years is rough.
It's like, not a good look.
You don't see that often. And you know, and again, like a recently fired outright saying no to your opening, and you're like looking at Gabe Kapler, who was a not very good manager. Like, you know, it's not even like Gabe Kapler is like a, you know, like a Tony La Russa or you know, one of those like Bruce Bochy, like, you know, one of the Dusty Baker, like one of these guys who were like a great manager who you're like, okay, well, like maybe he can be a good GM, and like, you know, it didn't work out with La Russa in Arizona, but fine. Gabe Kapler is like an average at best manager.
I mean, he wasn't terrible in San Fran. I'd say he was their biggest star, because they don't have stars out there in San Fran.
Yeah. I mean, he's like fine. You know, I'm not saying he's like bad. He's just like meh, you know?
He's, like, he's definitely mid at best.
Yeah. And so to be like, yes, that guy's who we want to be our general manager is just like,
well, you know, his analytics say pull Nola in the fifth and put in a reliever without warming them up. So you got to trust it.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll keep an eye on the Red Sox job and see what happens. A lot of GM and manager shakeups this offseason, and potentially more coming. I wouldn't be surprised. Talking about some coaching shakeups, the word on the street, everybody's reporting Yadier Molina talking to the Cardinals about potentially returning in some sort of coaching role. They're, you know, Yadi has said he's interested. The clubs, like, we'll bring you in whatever position you kind of want to be in to get you in this role. And, you know, again, makes sense. Yadier Molina, Cardinal lifer, potential future Hall of Famer, like, makes sense that he'd want to stick with the franchise. You know, obviously took a year off this year he coached the Puerto Rico team in the WBC. He was, I think, with the manager for that team. So, yeah. Like, he's got coaching experience there. You know, he has a basketball team in Puerto Rico, I believe. It also kind of puts Ali Marmol on the hot seat, keeping him around. But Ali Marmol did not have a great couple seasons as a manager so far. You know, people have been calling for his head. You put Yadi on that bench and suddenly it's like, well, you've got the heir apparent right there. You know, you already kind of fumbled it with Skip Schumacher, who would have been a perfect manager and now is a great manager over in Miami without a GM above him right now. You know, it bringing Yadi in, you know,
it's definitely a move to make when you like have a manager that's underperforming and you just take a franchise legend and put them on the bench. Like, I remember back in 2019, the Phillies could not hit for anything. So Charlie Manuel was doing scouting in AAA, and they promoted Charlie Manuel to hitting coach of the Phillies for the rest of 2019 with Gabe Kapler there in the dugout. And it was just, it was hysterical.
Yeah. And the biggest thing here is Bob Nightingale called it a long shot, which means it's probably definitely happening.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, like, Yadi in his career was always an on-field, you know, field general, whatnot, whatever. But, like, he always felt like having an extra coach on the coaching staff. You know, it seems like a natural fit, whether he comes to coach for the major league team or is just, assistant to the GM for a couple years until they find a spot for him, or if he is some sort of like roving instructor. Yeah. Certainly the kind of guy you like to have in the organization. And again, with a guy like Marmol, who, you know, isn't going to get fired right away. I don't think it's going to happen, whether or not it should. I don't think he's getting fired right away. But having that guy there who you're like, who with you know, there's a guy there who, like, if you have to fire your guy, then he's your guy, right? Like, that's a tough position sometimes that teams will get into, where you're like, all right, we're going to fire our guy, and the guy we have, like, we have our bench coach, he'll be there, you know, and then we're gonna do some interviews in the off season. But it's always good to have a guy who, you know, again, and like Skip Schumacher was for the Cardinals and previously for the Padres, where, like, if you're gonna fire this guy mid season, you've got a guy Mike Schilt was that for the Cardinals before, right? Mike Schilt was the Cardinals manager before Ollie Marmol. The Cardinals promoted him to bench coach, and when they fired Mike Mathena, they just slot Schilt right in. They hire Schilt. Like, you have a nice, easy continuity there. So that you know, and I think I kind of feel like Jose Oquendo was that for Mike Matheny initially, where Oquendo, you know, was the Cardinals' third base coach for a long time, had interviewed for the manager position, probably should have gotten it over Matheny if they weren't going to hire Terry Francona, which they should have done. You know, don't have to relitigate 2012 here, but you know, having a guy like that who's around, and like, if you got to fire your manager, it's good to have a guy who's ready to be a manager right then and there, right. Like Oquendo, like Schilt, like Molina, rather than, you know, have to have Jace Tingler for a year and a half or whatever.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it for news. Not a whole ton of news, you know, directly, because all MLB wants us to be talking about is the championship series. Let's start with the ALCS. We don't have Phil or Frack here today, like I said, but we're going to do our best here. Started off with the Rangers taking two games in Houston, which was kind of, you know, not like the biggest shock in the world, but a bit of a surprise. You know, the Astros, you expect to at least take one of those games. The Rangers taking two games in Houston looks huge for them until the Astros took three in Dallas, which made it 3-2. Then the Rangers took game six in Houston, so now it's 3-3 going into game seven. So far has been reverse home field advantage in this series. I mean, I think we expected this to be a good series.
Certainly I wanted this one to go seven. Like, this is the one I wanted to go seven.
Didn't expect it to happen this way.
No. Like, obviously, like, so, like, for me, having a team in the playoffs right now in the other championship series, it's been kind of hard for me to keep up with this one just because, like, you know, after I'm done watching a game, I'm just so emotionally drained from it.
Yeah.
But, like, what I've seen of this series, like, the Brian Abreu, Dulles Garcia stuff was nuts. This whole series has been fantastic. And, man, I don't know who's going to take game seven. Like,
yeah, and, you know, it's just, like, fascinating. Like, it's been a lot of close games and then a couple of blowouts. Like, yeah. It's really, really I don't know who lines up pitching-wise for game seven here. Game seven is...
So it's Javier going for Houston tomorrow, or tonight, technically.
Right.
Since it's coming out Monday morning.
Max Scherzer.
Yeah. Possibly. Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be Scherzer. So, like, man, like, the edge there is to Javier, because Javier is good. Like, he's ridiculous in the postseason. But the Astros have never beaten a postseason roster that's had Max Scherzer on it.
Yeah, you know, it's Scherzer is still Scherzer, you know, like
man, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, this could go either way. And, like,
and, you know, in game three, which was the last matchup, the Astros, like, the Rangers actually, they got runs off of Scherzer, right? But the Astros were on top in the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's tough. You know, the Rangers scored five off of Scherzer, all in the... Wait, what am I looking at here? Oh, that's right. The Astros. The Astros scored five off Scherzer in the first four innings. And the Rangers, they picked up two off of Javier. Yeah. So the Astros ended up winning that game. But, you know, Scherzer, you expect, was maybe shaking the rust off a little bit. Is still a great pitcher.
And Scherzer has just not been good this year. Like, I know we say it's Scherzer, but he has not been good.
He's not been as good as
he's showing his age.
He certainly is. That's true. But I don't know. Max Scherzer in a must-win game, you don't want to count out.
Yeah, but Javier in a must-win game,
yeah,
I can't count out either.
That's true.
Like, that dude is good.
Yeah.
Like, he no-hit us last year. He's good.
Right. Yeah.
He's very good.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We didn't mention yet the Adolis Garcia hit by pitch. Brian Abreu getting a 2-game suspension. He will appeal that, presumably to be available for this game. And then if the Astros win, then, you know,
he serves the first during the World Series. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of big. Like, that's kind of big.
That is kind of big, but I think you'd rather miss game one and game two of the World Series than game seven of a must win, you know?
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
If you definitely, like, handicapping yourself sucks, right? As a strategy, but if you've got to do it, you've got to do it, but do it at the most sort of opportune time where you're like, all right, if we lose these first two games, we still have him for the next potentially five.
Yeah.
Whereas if you don't have him for a must win game, then that can really hamstring you if you're
right.
You know, you a strong bullpen, as we've said many times, is important in the postseason. We've seen teams plenty of times without bullpen pitchers get real hosed. So
yeah,
and Brian Abreu has been strong in this postseason as well.
Yes, so. Yes, he has.
Any other ALCS thoughts here? It's not like a thorough accounting here, because we're going to have a more thorough accounting once we talk about the World Series preview, once we know which teams have won here, which is coming later this week. World Series starts on
Friday.
So sometime in the middle of the week, we'll record an episode. It's nice and lax this time. The division series, the championship series was like a 1-day turnaround. The championship series to World Series, it's Wednesday and Thursday, completely wide open. It's going to be a lot easier to record that episode.
Definitely. Yeah, man, you know, it's been again, I haven't been able to watch much just because with the Phillies,
right.
But it's been a good series.
Yeah,
it's been what you expect of a division matchup. This is what I wanted to see, and like, and I don't know, I don't know who's taking this. I'm saving my predictions for the end, but like, what a good series for baseball.
Yeah, and you know, and it's a big like Texas rivalry, which is like, I mean, that is like talking
that's
about
big for that state.
It's big for the state. It's big for baseball in that state. It's big, like, it's, you know, it you get massive. Good storylines out of Houston versus Dallas, you know, 100%. Like or Houston versus Texas, as it were.
Yeah.
And this is also the series that's been on Fox. The other series has been on TBS, so a little bit, you know, potentially tougher to watch. This is the reason I haven't watched a ton of it, because I don't want to like find illegal streams, and so if I'm not out at a place that airs sports on a day, which I am often because I host trivia on those nights, but like if I'm not there, I'm not seeing TBS or Fox Sports One.
You're not missing much with TV. I wish we were on Fox. I can't stand Brian Anderson.
But the nice thing about the Fox broadcasts too is that, because I want to call this out, they have their like their in studio team is Derek Jeter, Alex Rodriguez, and David.
They're the best. It's a good trio.
It's so good. And then I don't remember who the, like, you know, adult in the room is, the reporter. You know, the Ernie Johnson of the crew. And which is interesting too, because Ernie's been doing the TBS stuff.
Ernie J-Roll and Pedro are doing the TBS stuff,
and
Albert Pujols.
Oh, Pujols was there in this one.
Is doing it too.
On one of the earlier ones, it was I can't remember. It was an outfielder. He didn't talk very much.
Granderson.
What's that?
Granderson.
Yes, it was Crush Granderson. Yes, and like Grandy felt superfluous, and they covered him pretty quickly. But yeah, I think it's you know, Pedro and J-Roll and Pujols is a good crew, but like the Ortiz Jeter dynamic, and I think
oh my god, dude, it's fantastic.
Derek Jeter is a smart guy. He's a shrewd guy. And I think Derek Jeter understands that if he can manufacture Shaq and Chuck, it does well. And he's doing it. He's doing it. Like, the thing is, not everybody can do it. Not everybody can manufacture that. But Ortiz and Jeter is so much like Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley on Inside the NBA. And that's, if they can make that, like, if they can give these guys more time and let them do more stuff, like, give them a show, that's so good for baseball, because it's so because like people who don't like basketball like Inside the NBA, like I forget who it was. I was listening to some podcast, but some television writer was saying Inside the NBA is the best show on TV. Like, the best show. They're like, I shouldn't say this because we're currently striking, and the writer strike is over now. The writers, you know, got the deal. But, like, they were currently striking. It's like, I shouldn't be saying this because we're striking for a fair deal for writers. But that show is not written, and it's the best show on television.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so good. He's like, my wife will watch the NBA halftime show with me and then leave when basketball starts again because she likes Shaq and Chuck. And then Kenny Smith is there. Kenny Anderson? Hold on. Kenny Anderson. Kenny Anderson. Kenny Smith is, no, wait, it might be Kenny Smith. there's two Kenny, former basketball, it's Kenny Smith. Not Kenny Anderson. Kenny Anderson played for a bunch of teams in the NBA, but after Kenny Smith, not after. It doesn't matter. Kenny Smith. Kenny Smith is also there, and I think A-Rod could be replaced as well. He's fine. Like, he's not bad. He's fine. I think swap him out for like a pitcher with a good presence, like an Adam Wainwright, or. You know, there's other pitchers whose names I don't have off the top of my head. I actually would hope it's not Wainwright, because I want Wainwright on Cardinals broadcasts every day. But like, I think there's like a good pitcher to put there and have a good dynamic there with the two hitters.
Oh, yeah. Like, maybe like CC Sabathia might be a good one.
Sabathia could be a good one. Yeah.
Trying to think of like recent dudes that were good, because you want someone that was good.
Right
on there,
right. So, yeah,
like, Waino probably wouldn't be that guy, but like,
Waino was good.
Maybe see if you can get Pedro to switch from TBS over to the Fox. Yeah. Pedro is really good on TBS.
I mean, Pedro is really good. Yeah. That's true. If you get Pedro to come over, that would be great. But you know, whatever. Like, it's whatever. I think it would just be make for a little bit of a stronger dynamic, because you get a pitcher on there, where, you know, for like basketball, you don't have to worry about that kind of thing, so you can just get guys in any position. But besides that, I think it's really great and really enjoyable and good for baseball, and they need to need to be able to show more of it. It's good that it's on Fox, by the way. Like, the, you know, some of it's on FS1, which is really annoying, but game 1 and 2 were on Fox, and game 7 will be on Fox tonight as well. And then the World Series will all be on Fox, which is, you know, kind of the best time to be able to showcase. First of all, you know, on top of like all of that, it's three legends that everybody already knows, right? Which is what part of what worked for Shaq and Chuck, you know, like everybody already knows Shaq and Chuck, because they were such legends when they were playing, right? Charles Barkley was in Space Jam, right? Shaquille O'Neal, you know, like, and like, aside from obviously being in Space Jam, and like had a big media personality, so does Shaq. Like, you know, it really works to have like those guys be those guys. So anyway, that's not as much about baseball as it is a mouse, but it is like, is because I think if you have that and have it be a good show, it grows.
It's good to get people to tune in early.
It gets people to tune in. It grows the sport, which is what Inside the NBA has done. People watch Inside the NBA clips.
Like, I don't care about the NBA. Like, I'm completely turned off on the Sixers right now, just because their owner's a jerk
and their starters.
Dude, like, they're trying to displace residents in Chinatown just so they can build this stupid stadium. They're trying to split up what has been a core in Philadelphia for years.
Does James want to live in Chinatown? Are they trying to displace? Is that why he's pissed? They're displacing him from his house.
I probably Daryl Morey's a liar, man. I don't know. I'm just so sick of this team, but like
wild, just wild.
Yeah. NBA, the pre-show is fantastic.
Yes, former
I love Shaq.
Philadelphia 76er Charles Barkley is a great broad.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the NLCS, the National League Championship Series here. This one started with the Phillies taking the first two games in Philly, a little bit less of a surprise. The D-backs taking games 3 and 4 in Arizona. A bit of a surprise. I mean, obviously, they're at home. Kimbrel melts down a bit, which is...
The Kimbrel meltdown was not a shocker, especially when he was used on back-to-back days.
Yeah.
And I want to introduce something that our friend Anna introduced to us, and that is Craig theory. And that is, if Craig's first knuckle curve is a ball, you are in for a Craig meltdown. If it's a strike, you're going to have a good outing. Well, Craig's first knuckle curve in both games was a ball. And what happened? He melted down. Craig theory is real and it is scary.
That's surely verifiable, right? You can surely find data on all of that.
She has found data on it.
She has?
Yeah.
That's really funny. I forgot that Kimbrel was a Cub for 2.5 years. I forgot to White Sox for half a season. Wow. I just like sometimes like the middle of Kimbrel's career is very forgettable. I forgot he was a Dodger last year.
A Dodger, he was a Red Sox, he was a Padre.
Red Sox, Padres, I remember. But like 2019 to 2022 for Craig Kimbrel just don't register to me.
That's fair. I don't blame you. He's so bad.
I mean, not his strongest seasons.
Dude, Rob Thompson, who's like the most loyal manager to his dudes, straight up came out and said, yeah, he's not pitching in any high leverage situations the rest of the playoffs.
That makes sense, you know?
Like, he can't because he doesn't have it together. And he refuses to adjust to the pitch clock. Like, it is seldom that I throw my Phillies jersey on the ground in disgust. Craig Kimbrel had me wanting to put my fist through the TV in game 5 and throwing my jersey on the ground.
If Phillies win the World Series, I'm getting you a Craig Kimbrel jersey.
God, please don't. God.
But no, see, it'll be a reminder of the Phillies World Series win. So it'll be like a bittersweet, sweet because of the World Series win, bitter because it's Craig Kimbrel.
I can just get Michael Lorenzen for sure not appearing in this series.
Hey, you know, he got the no-hitter, right? You never
he did get that.
He'll be down in Philly's history forever for that no-hitter. Wild thing that actually happened in real life. And even, like, to happen in this year, right? Last year was the year of the no-hitter, and that happened this year? Like, anyway.
Yeah.
Phillies then took game 5 in Phoenix, or is it in Phoenix? I don't remember exactly where the...
It's in Phoenix. The House of Horrors.
It's Phoenix, but is it Phoenix, or is it, like, Sunrise or whatever?
It's downtown.
Is it? Okay. I never know with stadiums. It's like, you know, Atlanta's in Cobb County. Who knows, right? So looking to clinch in Philly, feeling good, Pat?
Yes, simply because we're in Philly, we have Nolan on the mound, and taking game 5 in the fashion they did made me feel good. Like, you beat Gallen again. You had to beat Gallen again.
I mean, it's one of those things where, like, you know, you have to win. You like, for these series, you need to win at least one, if not both at home, and you need to win at least one, if not, you know, two on the road.
Two, right? On the road, yeah.
They've done that. They won both at home. They won one on the road. They've got two games now where, like, with home field
advantage. You're in home. They're at home. They thrive at home.
Yeah.
They have that crowd. And, like, look, you know, people are planning on Philly for losing the two games in Arizona. I said from the beginning this was going 6. Like,
right. And you know, the
and I'm not shocked, dude. They're a chaotic team.
And both those games in Arizona were close games, right?
They were really close games.
A 2-1 game and a 6-5 game. And the all of Philly's wins have been not as close. The 5-3 game one, and then a 10-0 blowout and a 6-1 blowout, right? Like,
and here's the thing. There were a lot of fly balls the Phillies had that were home runs in other parks.
Yeah.
It's just that Chase Field is a cavernous tomb.
And, you know, like, Schwarber's back. Like we said in the preview, right? Like,
dude, I said, like, dude, if Schwarber figures his swing out, they're winning the NLCS.
And he's, he's last year was the championship series. This year is the championship series. 5 home runs for Kyle Schwarber. We're going to get to, like, let's just do predictions now, right? Let's start with the MVPs. I think Kyle Schwarber. Oh,
before we get there, shout out to Schwarber and Harper. They have tied Jason Worth for the most postseason home runs in Philadelphia history.
Yeah.
So they're probably breaking that record.
Honestly, I'm a little surprised it's Jason Worth.
Yeah, dude, Jason Worth was money in the playoffs. Yeah, here's the thing. The Phillies have only made the playoffs 16 times in their 100-plus year history.
So we
appreciate it. And 16 of the times they've made it, 8 of those they've gone to the World Series.
I mean, for what it's worth, all the teams that Jason Worth was on, Ryan Howard was also on, so it's still surprising it's Jason Worth, you know?
Yeah.
Predictions.
I'm gonna start with the ALCS.
Sure.
I'm going Houston's gonna win it. I can't see Texas winning all 4 in Houston. Javier is so money in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I can't because of what I've seen from Hot. Like I've watched Javier no hit Philadelphia in the World Series. He's good when it matters. And, like, yeah, you can look back at 2021 and the nuke he gave up to Jorge Soler, but, like, he was a rookie in that year.
Right.
He's a much different pitcher now.
I mean, look, they scored a couple of runs off of him in that last game, right? And obviously the Astros scored more off of Scherzer. But, you know, they were not bad against Javier in that previous appearance. They were pretty strong against him in the regular season. They faced him once this year and scored 8 runs off him in 4 innings, 4 1/3. So you're right, he's a clutch pitcher. He's been really, really strong in the playoffs. I think if Scherzer can look, just even look a little bit like Max Scherzer, and the Rangers can score a couple runs, Evan Carter's not been the monster he had been for the rest of the playoffs so far, but if he can figure it out, turn it on, Adolis Garcia has been really good, Leody Taveras has been really good,
I just think this championship pedigree that Houston has is going to pay off for them, and they're going to take it.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree. I'll be contrarian and say Texas, but I'm not, I don't think I think the smart money is on Houston. Yeah. But I'll say, and my official person will be Texas.
Yeah. So I got Houston taking it, and Jordan is the championship series MVP.
Numbers say Jordan, but I think moments say Altuve.
Yeah, but I think Jordan's going to hit a massive nuke tonight.
Yeah, and maybe.
That's going to put. I think it's going to be off Chapman. I think it's going to be late in the game. Chapman's going to come in, and Jordan's going to hit a nuke off of him.
I think one of those three guys could have a walk off.
Oh, 100%.
And then whichever, like, Jordan, Bregman, and Altuve, and even, like, throw Abreu in there. Yeah. If any of those guys hits a walk-off, it's them.
Yeah.
I think, as it looks now, I think Altuve, because of those big moments, is gonna get, if it's the Rangers.
Adolis
Garcia, yeah. That would be my pick there, Adolis. He's kind of been the face of the series for them, for good or for ill. So I'm going Rangers and Adolis, but I think my money, if it's the Astros, which probably is going to be, is on Altuve winning CS MVP there. For the Phillies, Phillies D-back series, not forget the D-backs exist. I think the Phillies are going to win game six. I think both these series are ending tonight.
I think so. You know, Nola's so good in clinchers. Knock on wood. I just think the vibes, like, look, they got punched in the face in Arizona and they came out in game five and said, we're not going to take that.
Right.
Coming home to a Philly crowd that's behind them. I think they take it. You know, Merrill Kelly's a guy that they've got good numbers off of. They got to him in game two. And I, you know, this Diamondbacks bullpen is not that good. And as they've gotten more looks at them, they've gotten more hits off them. And, you know, if Kelly can't go at least six tonight, that's a problem.
I mean, it's what we were kind of saying all this beginning of the playoffs is that the Diamondbacks rotation, the Diamondbacks pitching is just not strong. And their hitting, for what it's worth, has not really picked up their pitching the way you would think. They just kind of have worked. Alec Thomas's slash line, by the way, is really funny. It's 182 batting average, 167 on base percentage, 727.
Yeah.
It's dude, just like, what an like, astounding number.
It's like the Diamondbacks have not, like,
he's 2 for 11 with a sack fly and two home runs.
Outside of Ketel Marte, like, they're not, the Phillies pitching staff has done a good job of keeping them in check.
Yeah.
And they're not stealing either, which is really weird.
Even Smith 3 for 8 with three singles. Like, it's just they've not been, you know, they've gotten exposed in the way that we kind of expected them to get exposed. It took a 7-game series for that to happen. Yeah. You know, they managed to, you know, and not to take anything away from the Diamondbacks who earned their place here.
No,
but
they absolutely earned it, man. Like,
in many ways, they managed to sneak by in, you know, 2 games, then 3 games.
Yeah.
And like, just they didn't play those series long enough to get their weaknesses exposed.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, they beat the Brewers handily. They beat the Dodgers, who did not look like the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And now they come into the Phillies, and you know, the Phillies have it.
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks really don't seem to. I don't know how they have even won 2 games. Like, looking on paper, it's like, what
Craig
are Kimbrell. They like?
Craig Kimbrell is your answer.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You know, they've scored.
And you know what? Shout out Brandon Thott for holding the Phillies down.
Brandon Thott really turned it on in the playoffs. Like, it really seemed silly. He'd been so bad in the regular season, but like, you know, a top prospect for them, a guy who you expected to be good later on. And then suddenly in the postseason, he's like, you know what? Let me show you on the biggest stage what I'm supposed to be. And has not given up a run since that first wild card game.
Yeah.
Should definitely shout out Brandon Thott. But yeah, like, outside of game four, the Diamondbacks have scored a total of 5 runs.
Yeah.
You know, and then 5 runs in game four alone. Like, it doesn't
it's not good, man. Like,
yeah.
And again, props to them for getting here. And again, this series isn't over. They could very easily take the night. But you know, I feel good about the Phillies taking this, and like, they've got a good core out there in Arizona that's coming together. And I think this is like, you know, the Phillies had this last year where they exceeded expectations and it was a learning experience. And now they're back here this year with that experience and they're taking it further.
Right.
I think we can see that from the Diamondbacks next year. If they don't advance.
You know, comparison wise, I'd say the big thing for the Diamondbacks is they don't have like those sort of big leader guys. They've got Evan Longoria.
Yeah. Yeah. The Phillies have Harper, Schwarber, and Castellanos who lead the team.
Right.
And, you know, no one's really stepped up on the Diamondbacks yet. I do think Corbin Carroll and Ketel Marte will take that step up next year.
Yeah. No, for sure. But I think like
this is a learning experience for them, and
they kind of got to make a big splash in the offseason too. On top of that,
100%.
Get a guy, you know, whether even if like whether that guy is like the guy, like whether you know, like you're not necessarily going to get a Bryce Harper this offseason. I'm not looking at the free agent class in front of me right now, but I'm not. That guy's not really available unless like you're looking for Nola, unless you're trying to grab Nola, you know, like on the pitching side. Otani's odd, right? Because of the Tommy John, or like, I guess we don't know if it's Tommy John yet, but the UCL injury.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I think this is the punch in the face the Diamondbacks needed to say, hey, okay, we've got something here.
Bellinger, maybe?
Let's improve on it. You know, kind of like the Phillies got punched in the face in the World Series. And they looked and said, okay, we've got something here. Let's go get Trey Turner to improve the lineup. Let's go get Matt Strom, Gregory Soto, Craig Kimbrell to improve the bullpen.
Bellinger on the Diamondbacks would be really fun, though, by the way. Just FYI. Just for what it's worth.
That would be a good vibes fit.
Yeah. Chapman also available. I don't know what the third base situation is. Who do they have?
Longoria and Emmanuel Rivera. Right?
Yeah. So Chapman would be a good, like, you know, it slots in well.
Philly, I think the Phillies take it tonight.
Yeah.
I think there's two options for an LCS MVP.
Schwarber and Harper.
No, Schwarber and Nola.
Oh, sure. Nola, of course.
Because if Nola does what he did in game two tonight, I could see a very strong case for Nola.
I could see that. I think
it's going to be Schwarber.
I think the bombs, you know, like the fact that he's hit five home runs, I'm probably going to hit another one tonight.
And honestly, I'll feel so justified if it's Schwarber. I will feel so justified.
It doesn't suddenly make him good. Like, but you know what? Like, doesn't matter if you win a ring, right? Like, if Kyle Schwarber wins you a ring, the whole regular season, who cares? You know?
Yeah.
Exactly. I get it.
Yeah.
Bills
tonight. I think we're dancing on our own, and you know, there's just been this feeling like we're kind of destined for this rematch, you know, between Houston and Philly.
It's
just been that feeling all postseason, and I don't know if other baseball fans have felt it, but you know, I know we felt it here in Philly, and you know, some Houston fans I'm friends with have felt it as well.
I think, you know, the Braves rematch felt inevitable, but once the Phillies overtook the Braves, then it was clear.
Yeah.
Like it certainly felt like it was going to be either the Braves or the Phillies.
I mean, we've been saying all year that the NL representative in the World Series would be either the Phillies or the Braves, whoever won that. We've said that literally in our division dandies back in the spring.
Right, exactly, yeah, and like even like looking at all the other playoff teams, like none of them feel like, you know, any other division series, like any other playoff team, the Marlins, the Diamondbacks, the Rays, like all of or not the Rays, sorry, the Marlins, the Diamondbacks, the Brewers, the Dodgers, like all of those, like maybe with the exception of the Dodgers, who like just I mean. Didn't have it this year, but like the rest of them kind of felt like they would need a Cinderella like postseason to make it to the World Series, but the Phillies and the Braves felt like whoever, like, yeah, it's good, like the AL East is or the NL East is going to be the representative there in the in the National League.
Now that's sad. Whereas if Arizona does win these next two games, you know, they deserve it. My pick for MVP for them would be Ketel Marte. Just because that dude, sure. dude's riding like a 20-game playoff hitting streak.
Yeah.
So.
You know, could be Brandon Pfaadt.
If there's a game seven, he shuts down the Phillies, yeah. He'd be a good pick.
Which kind of feels like what has to happen for them to win, right? There has to be a game seven.
They'd have to win tonight and Pfaadt would have to start.
That's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. Like it has, like if the Phillies, if the Diamondbacks win, it has to be because they won tonight. Pfaadt started game seven and Pfaadt had a strong game seven. So very like, assuming all of that is what happens, then Pfaadt winning, because like, you know, Ketel Marte riding that hitting streak. He's not like, he's been good, but like not been like postseason MVP good.
No,
you know,
well, he doesn't have like, a home run.
No home runs, three doubles, nine hits. Like he's hitting, right? Like he's been doing what he's supposed to do, which is like table set. Just not like, not been like, they've not had sort of that strong hitter.
Yeah.
Ketel Marte's OPS is like almost half of Kyle Schwarber's. Yeah. You know, like there's three Phillies. I guess you can't really count Jake Cave, but there's two Phillies, Schwarber and Harper, who have a better OPS than Marte, and Trey Turner's not Trey far Turner, behind.
Yeah. Like Trey Turner was hitting 500 coming in the game five, dude.
Yeah.
He's insane.
So like it's tough to give it to Marte for me. I think again, if they get to a point where the Diamondbacks win, it's kind of going to be on the back of Brandon Pfaadt, which means I think Brandon Pfaadt would get that that MVP there, yeah. The NLCS MVP. But
it would be, feels I mean, like the Phillies and Astros is a rematch that's coming.
Yeah.
It's just that feel. They've been hyping it. You know, there hasn't been a World Series rematch since like Yankees Dodgers. They've been kind of hyping this up since the postseason started.
Is there not?
I think that was the last, like in back to back years, I think that was the last one.
Wow, really?
I believe so. This would be like a modern day.
Yeah.
Dodgers, Yankees.
Wow.
I'm pulling it up now. Here we go. World champions. Yep. Yankees Dodgers 77-78 was the last time.
I really thought there was one more reason than that, but I guess, I mean, that makes sense. It feels like that's where we're going. 2022-2023 Astros Phillies. And, you know, I'm sure most people are pulling for Phillies there, aside from, you know, Astros fans and Mets fans, yeah. Right? That's about it.
And Braves fans.
And Braves fans.
And Braves fans. Yeah. I don't think Dylan for would sure. be pretty pissed. Mainly, I will hold it over his head for as long as possible.
I mean, the Braves won last year, you know?
Like, 2 years ago, yeah. 2 years ago. They've got their title. Yeah. It's hard.
They've got their title. They've got a title in very recent memory. You can't be upset about that, yeah. You know? We'll have to see. In the last that Yankees Dodgers back to back years, the Yankees changed managers between those years. Yep. Billy Martin got fired. Was he sick? I don't know exactly what happened there. I think he missed the posts like a part of the part of the postseason.
Yeah.
And so they had let's see. I think he stepped aside for health reasons in July. And then I think he was going to leave and then ended up coming back. But Bob Lemon was the manager who won that World Series with the Yankees, which means that's all this to say, this would be the first manager rematch between Dusty Baker and Rob Thomson since I don't even know how far back. Casey Stengel and Charlie Dressen, also Yankees Dodgers, 52-53.
That might be it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, here we go. 57-58, Fred Haney, Casey Stengel. That might be it. We'll see. It's coming. I think
it feels like it's coming.
It's hard to say it's not coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's that feeling in the air.
Yep, for sure. All right. That's going to do it then for this episode. Hey, Pat, thanks so much for joining.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And this episode of Rain Delay Radio, executive produced by Lewis. My name is Nyme. I edited this episode. I also hosted it along with Pat. It was hosted by Chuck Lease. Rain Delay Radio releases every Monday morning, usually at 1 a.m. Eastern time, usually, unless there's playoff stuff. Next episode probably going to drop on Thursday. I would guess. So stay tuned for that. And then we'll probably have a regular episode again on Monday morning with like a World Series check-in in the middle there. So you know, not 100% sure what the scheduling is here. Playoffs are always weird, but we'll see you when we see you. Bye.